Hallo, guten Morgen. Perfekt, es geht los. Sehr schön. Herzlich willkommen bei uns in der Wikipacker WG, liebe Mitbewohner. Auch herzliche Grüße an den Livestream und die Recordings. Wir freuen uns sehr, dass wir heute hier mit euch starten können. Und genau, wir werden vier Tage volles Programm haben. Ihr habt verschiedene Möglichkeiten, unser Programm nachzuverfolgen. Zum einen haben wir im Wiki einen kleinen Link gesetzt, wo ihr unser Pre-Talks-Programm findet. Ihr findet uns auch in der Fahrplan-App. Bisher, glaube ich, nur auf iOS, aber immerhin. Und Android läuft jetzt auch, wunderbar. Alles steht. Und genau, wir haben heute hier im Esszimmer das Vergnügen zu starten mit einem Beitrag von Wikimedia, und zwar machen das Lukas und Amir. Das Thema ist Wikidata, Everything You Need to Know, Part 1. Die beiden werden jetzt, ich glaube, anderthalb Stunden erzählen und auch eine Fragerunde machen. Genau, ihr werdet also gleich erfahren, worum es geht. Und sie sind dann später noch in unserer Küche, also draußen zu finden, in einer etwas gemütlicheren Runde. Und dort könnt ihr dann noch weitere Fragen zu den Queries stellen. Die beiden freuen sich sehr auf euch. Und ja, ich möchte euch nochmal herzlich willkommen heißen. Mein Name ist Satya von Jugendhakt Berlin. Und jetzt geht's los. Amir, Lukas, kommt ihr auf die Bühne?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Lukas. I work at Wikimedia Germany. And
hello, everyone. I'm Amir. I also work at Wikimedia Germany.
Yeah, okay. And today we are going to tell you what Wikidata is and what it's all about and some of the cool things that you can do with it. And we didn't prepare too much for this talk, I'm afraid. So these are stolen slides. So at some point we will stop using them, and if at any point something is unclear, if you have any questions, then I think you can just go right away, and either you will get a microphone from our friendly stage manager, or I will just repeat your question for the live stream and the recording. Okay, so should we just start? Yeah, so first of all, I guess, what's Wikidata? I hope that's also what's on the slide. Yes. Wikidata is a knowledge base, a free one, which is very important to us. It's part of the Wikimedia family of projects, so it's the same family as Wikipedia and Wikisource and Wikimedia Commons and some other projects, and it exists to support those projects, but also for the rest of the world. So even if you don't have anything to do with Wikipedia or any other Wikimedia stuff, you can still work on Wikidata if you want. And it's a knowledge base of structured data. So in a Wikipedia article, you have a lot of information, but it's all in prose, which is useful to human readers, but not so useful to computers, and to use this information that's there automatically. So in Wikidata, it's you have also a lot of information, but in a format that you can use immediately, and that's structured like that. It's also multilingual, so there's just one Wikidata. There's not like there's an English Wikipedia, a German Wikipedia, French Wikipedia, and so on, but there's just one Wikidata, and one Wikidata serves the needs of all the different language communities. So all the data we have is completely multilingual. The information you see is the same whether you look at it in which language you look at it. And do you want to continue a bit?
So just one other thing that I want to say is that so you use Wikidata without knowing it, because it's actually being used by Alexa and Siri and all of the Google Knowledge Graph. So basically, it has all of the information, but it's some sort of, it's being in this more built for machines, so they use it for you. The one other thing that I want to say, it's public domain, which makes it very easy to use, because there's no copyright for the data. And it's a collaborative, like Wikipedia, people fight over it, people try to import data, add more information. And it's mostly based on facts, you don't have subjective things in it, unless you put a reference for that. And it's also, I think it's more for machines, but it also, some humans use it, so.
Well, yeah, in the end, it's it's either edited by humans or it's edited by machines controlled by humans. So in some respect, it's still for humans, definitely. Anything here that we forgot? It's linked to other databases as well. So you can use Wikidata in combination with a lot of other knowledge bases, which you might already be familiar, and perhaps like they will have more specialized or more detailed data, which doesn't belong in Wikidata, but then Wikidata gives you extra context because it's a knowledge base for almost everything.
So some few numbers. It was launched at 29th of October 2012. It has more than 52 million items. And there's 20,000 active editors, like people who actually edit once in a month at least. So so when we talk about 52 million items, what we are talking about is that so some of these items actually refers to a geographical place that it has a like a coordinate related to that. And if you put each uncoordinate somewhere, we see we can build a world map. And this is the world map based on Wikidata. And it sees like it's you can see there is a like a knowledge gap between places that are doesn't have much information in it, in places that are not fully developed as like Europe. Europe is basically light up, but.
Yeah, there's still a lot of places where we are missing some information, even though it gets better. This map used to look a lot darker, so there are improvements over time. As there's also still a lot left to do. And so how many people here in the audience have edited Wikipedia before? That's not a lot. Five people, I guess. So I guess this slide is very relevant for you as well. So that applies not just to Wikidata, but also to all Wikimedia projects in general, I guess. But do you know what you want to say about this?
It's basically wiki is means like you first edit and then review it. So in Wikipedia, it's like you first put something, you vandalize it, and then it gets reverted immediately by a robot or humans or other things. So it just being like we need to be quick. This is the way that it works. It's not just for Wikipedia. So Wikipedia is applying a wiki philosophy on an encyclopedia. So it's Wikipedia, and then they try to build this a news agency out of that. They try to build a quotation mark. They try to build a dictionary that's called now Wiktionary. Wikidata is basically applying this wiki philosophy on data, and this is that how it works.
Yeah, and in Wikipedia, there's most of the data model isn't designed up front, but rather it emerges over time as people start to edit, and they notice some things that make sense, or they see things that other people did that make sense, so they copy what they did because they want to do it this way as well, or they notice that something is too limited and doesn't work for some use case, and then they start a discussion and then perhaps decide, okay, we need to model this information in a different way. What's a good example for that? I don't know. For instance, we currently have one case that I can think of right now is we have a lot of time zone statements right now on pretty much any German municipality saying this is in the time zone UTC plus one, or in summertime it's in UTC plus two. And apparently, in a few years, there's not going to be any change between winter and summertime. So, as far as I know, it's not yet clear if it's going to be all summertime or all wintertime. But that's definitely going to change, and I'm pretty sure we will have to change the data model based on that, because right now that's information that would then be incorrect on every individual German municipality. So we'll see what happens to that, I guess. But for now, the information is there in some form, and then we can see what to do with it later. Is there?
I think we covered everything in here.
Mostly, yeah. I'm not sure how much we emphasize that it's free and open so far. So it's open for reuse because it's all the data is in the public domain. You can credit Wikidata if you want. It would definitely be nice, but it's not required because if you combine data from 50 sources, then these attribution requirements get pretty complicated soon. So if you want, you don't have to if it makes your life easier. But anyone is also allowed to contribute to Wikidata. And you just have to be prepared that other editors will review your edits and perhaps tell you that they don't like them or that you should have done it in a different way. But anyone is welcome to edit on Wikidata as well.
One thing is like it's so prone to vandalism, so and it can show itself on other places. That's one of the reasons that it's being reused so much. That actually, so 1 year ago, that basically news came out that if you ask Siri what is the national anthem of the Bulgaria is, and the Siri would answer you, it's this Despacito, because it was someone vandalized it in Wikidata and got like moved to the Siri databases and everything.
Yeah, and then it took people a while to even figure out where this came from, and in the meantime on Wikidata I think it had been reverted pretty quickly, within 20 minutes or so. But yeah, so yeah, that's definitely also one way you can contribute, just reviewing edits and checking them for vandalism. We need more people doing that. Did we cover the why Wikidata? I think so, more or less. So it's yeah, that it's useful both for Wikimedia projects, for instance, yeah, a use case. Let's say we have 200, or we have Wikipedia articles in 200 or perhaps even 300 languages about the city of Leipzig, where we currently are, and then they elect a new mayor, and now you would have to update 200 or 300 Wikipedia articles. And that's one of the reasons why Wikidata is so useful, because if they pull this information, who is the current mayor of Leipzig, if they pull that from Wikidata, then you only have to update it in one place, and then you can edit it there, and it automatically gets updated in all the Wikipedia articles. And of course, some of the larger articles, they will also refer to the mayor somewhere in the prose text, and that will still have to be updated. But at least those smaller articles, which only mention it in the info box on the right, there it will be automatically updated. And I think we've more or less said how it works. It's perhaps even more, say even more, that it's very, very community driven. So there's really no central planning committee deciding this is what should and shouldn't be in Wikidata. It's all decided by the community, which discusses all these things in various places, and there's sub-communities focusing on a part of the knowledge, like there's a wiki project for anything related to Germany, or a wiki project related for anything related to biology, or a wiki project sled dogs, with, I think, it actually has more than one member right now, so more than one person interested in sled dogs and how they are being modeled in Wikidata, because that's useful information to have as well.
Never know.
Yeah.
Just one thing that I want to say is that it's very integrated with the Wikipedia community and other community of Wikimedia movement. So there, you always find yourself with lots of Wikipedians who really love to edit Wikipedia, and then they come and yell at you because why you because the data is being used in Wikipedia, and then you change something, and they might get angry, saying, "Yeah, it should not be like this." So data structure, how data is structured in Wikidata. So if you see there's a queue ID, like a queue and a number there, it's an item. There's just an ID for that item. So we have the San Francisco item, this queue 62, and all of the articles in about San Francisco in Wikipedia are actually connected to this. And then it has some statements, and each statement can be talking about something that's being used there. So one is like population, and value of these statements can be different type of things, like can be a number, can be another item, and or can be a location, or mayor, or like a string, or anything like that. So
yeah, but mostly the items link to other data items. So when we say the mayor of San Francisco is Gavin Newsom, we don't say it's the string Gavin Newsom, because what if he changes his name later, what if he marries or whatever. So instead, what we store is this ID here, which will always refer to this person, even if they change their name later. And then that's where we have all kinds of information about Gavin Newsom as well. So on the item about San Francisco, we only know the mayor is Q400,000 and something. And then on that other item, we know he was born in this and that year, and he's probably male, and his first name is Gavin, and whatever. And that's the linked aspect of the data.
One big thing about this is, what good thing is, make it language agnostic. So you can, this is, if you say it in English, if you change it to Chinese, you will see all other Chinese names that you cannot read even here. Like, so it basically makes it very language agnostic. If you want to see which, what should be a string and what should not be in a string, you can say it that way.
Yeah. Let's have a look. Okay, so let's actually look at some Wikidata items. What should we look at?
Leipzig,
that sounds good. So I'll just search for Leipzig, there it is. And I'm currently looking at the page in English. So I'm seeing all this information in English. Leipzig is a city in Saxony in Germany. That's just a bit of information to distinguish it from, like, there's probably an album called Leipzig and there's probably a Leipzig in Minnesota or wherever. So you have a small description to tell you what this is actually about. And then down here we have the information. So this tells us that Leipzig is a big city, and big city is another item with the ID Q1,000,000 and something, which has its own statements. Leipzig is also an independent city. It's a city in general, it's a major regional center, and it's an urban municipality of Germany. It's part of this, is that an area or something, in the Leipzig Lowlands Central Hills. Sounds like an area, apparently. And we have an image for Leipzig, so if you want to show a bit of information about Leipzig, you will, you can use this image if you want. It has an official name in Leipzig, in German, so even if you're writing an article in Japanese, if you want to refer to the official name, you can know here what it is. And it lies in Europe. Okay, we have some less relevant information first, apparently. It lies in Germany since 3rd October 1990. Before that, it was in the German Democratic Republic and in the Soviet occupation zone and in a bunch of other countries. It's the capital of various things. Apparently, this doesn't even have an English label. What is this? This is the Kreisdirektion Leipzig, which is some level of regional administration, I guess. Somewhere down here, there should also be a population, which is perhaps more interesting. Yeah, there's a population. So in 2017, Leipzig had a population of 591,608 people. We also have populations at some other points in time, including this is apparently more recent, from March 2018. So you can, if you want, you can always store multiple pieces of data in Wikidata, and then also add some, these are called qualifiers, like the point in time or the determination method, to further specify where this information comes from, or when it applies, or what it means more exactly. And very important, you also have references, so sources for the information. Let's hope this is a good reference. Yes, it is. So this population of Leipzig comes from this URL, which has the title Bevölkerung des Freistaates Sachsen jeweils am Monatsende ausgewählte Berichtsmonate nach Gemeinden. It was published by this thing with a weird name, but apparently that's that looks like vandalism to me.
Can check that history.
Let's check the history. So all this is, like on Wikipedia, you have a history of edits, and you can check who did what. Yep, that was an IP, which edited the English label and description, and before that it didn't exist. And yeah, I think I'm just going to revert that live on stage. Yay. Ta-da. Okay, perhaps we could also add a real English disc label. Let's just do that. So this is the, can you hold the microphone?
It's done.
I couldn't think of a good description, but now if we reload this page, that should look a bit better. Okay, those are apparently the partner cities. Let's wait for it to load. There's a population. No, okay.
I think we parse
a cache. Yeah, we just have to. Oh, okay, it moved a lot. We just have to wait a bit. But yeah, we were talking about references. Sorry for the distraction. So this tells us where this information came from. It came from this statistical office, and if we want, we can look at this URL and check. Yeah, I guess, yeah, there's a number. No, this is the number from March 2018. It's probably too small on the projector. You just have to believe me that it's the real number. And in this case, the statement has one reference. It's also possible for a statement to have multiple references. Do we have any examples of that? This one. This has two references. So this population value came from Russian Wikipedia at first. Someone imported it from there, but then they also found a real reference, which is this URL. And this imported from Wikimedia project is what I meant earlier when I said, hopefully that's a good reference, because this is not a great reference. So ideally, you should find better references than that. Okay, anything else on the item we didn't talk about?
So one thing about this is that you can think about if you go down, you can see site links, and there's lots of information. If you go down. So yeah. So if you see here, and there's like a lot of wikis and different ones, and you can see in some wikis it has lots of information. So one thing that I want to say, for example, it's let's go to the Czech version. How can I open it? So it used to have some information. It's the Czech version, and if you go to the history of that page, can you go to something around before it got all of the interwiki links deleted? I don't think 500 would be.
There, right. Do you want to see the source code?
Yeah, let's see. So go down if it's possible. So if you see at the bottom of this page, there is a lot of links to the other Wikipedia. I don't know if you can see this, but this is how it, Wikipedia used to maintain connection between articles in different languages. So this is a Czech version. It was just linking this to the German, like everything there. And now they're deleted and it's being handled from Wikipedia, Wikidata, because there is a central place and just they are connected to some same thing and they are having the interwiki links. It gives a better semantic connection between the Wikipedia, different Wikipedia versions.
Yeah, and it also just means if you rename the article in one language, you no longer have to update the corresponding articles in 300 other languages. So it's, again, back to this issue of where you're unifying all this information, or a lot of this information in Wikidata, so just to make it easier. I mean, we can look at this item in another language just to see that it's really multilingual. Perhaps, I don't know, French. Perhaps someone here speaks French. So now we see the entire page, including all this information in French, because any data item can have this label in different languages. And in this case, it's called Leipzig in all three languages because it's a city name. But this item for which used to be a big city, I think, in French, it's called something else. So you now see the French label, but it's still the same item with the same data, of course. And in this case, apparently there's no French label, so it falls back to the English version, which is still better than nothing. Let's go back to English. Any questions so far, by the way? Then I guess we can try to create an item?
Yeah, let's do it.
What item do you want to create?
So, do you want to check the item for the last year's conference?
Sure, let's do that.
So this is the item for the last year's conference. It has some basic information in it, saying like which is part of what conference it is, and what's the next one, what's the, like the one before that.
Oh.
Maybe it's the Vandals one.
Damn it.
Oh, you can see.
We were going to create this item, but someone must have edited it in the last 15 minutes or something. Who? No, we wanted to create it here. Damn it. Okay, we need a different idea for an item to create.
Maybe we can...
Next year, yeah, let's go ahead. And then next year we'll have the same problem. And okay. So 35C3 was created just... What time is it now? 8 minutes ago. Is this person here in the audience? Who was that? Show yourself.
Maybe it's okay. In the live stream. Thank you.
Okay, thank you anyways for creating an item. And so we can see what kind of information is here. Well, I mean, we can start by adding some references. This item doesn't have any references. Perhaps we can improve that. For example, refreshing memories. There should be some web page telling us where this model came from, right? Can you hold the mic and I'll just search for something?
Official website, I guess?
I think that's not the first time the logo was the motto was made public, but it's a reference. We can use it. So.
Bam. So. Let's start making the next year.
Okay. So we can create a new item now for...
Do you want me to do?
Okay. Oh, okay. Now the keyboard layout makes sense. So label is going to be 36th C3. I think the C was uppercase. Description, you can just copy it from the other item if you want. I think this, right. Oops, there it is. So we just need to replace the 35th with 36th.
Okay, this.
And do we need any search aliases? No, I don't think so. Lowercase, I guess, yeah, doesn't hurt. And
I just okay. made an edit on his behalf. And I just made an edit on his behalf, so.
Yeah, I'm logged in here, so. Yeah. And now, should I start adding statements?
Yeah, sure. Hello.
So, you have to talk because I don't have the mic.
Okay, so. What we are going to do is that we have a statement saying that what it is, like what we are talking about. So this is like instance of a conference. It's called, what's it called? Chaos Communication Conference, probably. Yes. And then, bam, it's there. So we can add a reference for that, but I don't think it would be needed. So for example, there is like a you if you go to the item of president and you say instance of human, it doesn't really need a reference that the person is human, but yeah. So property, we can say which place it's being going to be held. Do you know this, which place is going to be held next year?
It's probably not official yet, so.
Okay. Yes.
Do we have any other information actually? I guess there's a Twitter hashtag at least. So there was one on 35C3. So we can add another one for 36C3 and just guess that.
Let's do it. Follows is like which one before was that and which one is next. And also you can add this item to the this year's.
Yeah.
So basically, now it says like there is a problem because it needs to be symmetrical. When it says it follows, it should be, after that, it should be followed by it if, to be added in the other item. Now both of them are fixed now, hopefully. Yeah, I think that's all. There's nothing much we can add for this case.
Yeah, that's all I can think of for now. Oh, we can add a German label, I guess, and description.
We can add it for lots of languages.
Yeah. But let's just quickly do that. This is 36C3, and it is... Ta-da. Okay. And... I just noticed we didn't really talk about properties yet, right? So far we've looked at the items, which are where the information is stored, and also the values for a lot of statements. And we haven't talked about this part, which is the properties. And that's there's a difference between item properties, because properties are used to define how the data is stored, and for each property, so there's only 6,000? Are we at 7,000 properties by now? I don't think so. So somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 properties by now, and not everyone can create a new property. So anyone can create a new item, like we just did, and creating a new property is not quite that easy, because there has to be some community discussion that we actually need this new property to store some new piece of information, because either we can't store it in any other way, or at least the other way is terrible. But there's usually first a discussion, if you propose a new property, do we really need this? Can we not do this with some of the existing properties? But then in the end you have these properties like instance of, what is this item anyways, or which other event does it follow, or here the motto text of an event, or start and end time, and for start and end time the value is always a point in time and not an item. So that's another possible type of value that exists next to items and some others.
One thing that's about Wikidata is that it has different way of modeling things. Like there's an ontology here, and there's different type of entities. So we have one entity is called item. So we have different type of entity. One entity is item. The other type of entity is property that's being used for other thing. And there's another type of entity is called lexeme. Do you want to talk about that? How many of you heard about lexeme? Oh, that's good. Hello. So lexemes are basically words that are being used in the dictionary and their languages. So basically in every entry in the dictionary is sort of a lexeme. So for example, you can go to the lexeme, and then we have another type of entity, L99. So this is just a word, and it's in German, and then you describe it in a way that machine can understand it. The good thing about this thing is that it actually helps about machine translations, automatic translations, because you can connect it to the other lexemes in other languages, so then you can say these are like the same thing, and the way that's being, and the other forms that it has, and the other ways that it can be described. Do you want to add more?
Yeah, so we store for each lexeme or word, we store the different forms it has, like the different declinations or conjugations or whatever, and also the different meanings it has. Luftballon only has one meaning so far, which I guess makes sense. What? Pluto, yeah, that's a good one. So let's search for Pluto. There it is, the English proper noun Pluto. It means a dwarf planet near Neptune, and it also means, it refers to a Greek god and also a cartoon dog from Disney. So we have three different senses for those, and on each of the senses we can have other statements. For example, to link to the item which we have for this concept. So we have, so we would have different lexemes for the English word Pluto or the German word Pluto, or in French it's slightly different, I think. Or is it the same word? Pluto? It's the same, okay. I thought it might be different. It's definitely different in Russian, just because of the different alphabet. But the concept of this dwarf planet would still be represented by one item, and we can link all the different words which have the same meaning to this item. And actually, here we also have a translation of this word, which is... this is a Russian word. Oh, great. So that's Pluton in Russian, with this same sense, which also refers to the item and has a translation for the lexeme which we just looked at. So that's all this lexicographical data is something we started collecting fairly recently. When was it? May this year, I think. So we're still starting to build up this collection of data, but eventually this should also be a large collection of lexicographical data, just like we already have different kind of data in Wikidata.
So there is another one that's actually in the future, and just want to talk about the future. Media info?
Okay.
So how many of you do you know about Wikimedia Commons? That's good. So let's just to recap, Wikimedia Commons is the image repository that empowers Wikipedia and has runs the 30-40 million images that are free licensed, so you can use it in other places. This is like in Wikimedia Commons. But the biggest problem is that if you go down a little bit that thing, you see there's like a alt text, and it's not nice, and it's really hard to find images in that huge, vast amount of images that we have. If you go down, the way that people are handling this is that they add categories. This is just one category. That's really nice. So, for example, the category versions for categorization of images in Commons become so weird that there is a category of cats looking at left, and there's a category of cats looking at right. So the way that the real reasoning for that is that it needs to be modeled properly in the way that machine can understand it, so you can search for that properly. Yeah, of course. Oh, well, up and down. Yeah, we have that too. This way you can basically have the images and describe them and model them.
That's not sure if we can show that on stream.
Oh, we can. Okay. But they're too small, so.
Okay.
So we can have these images and then describe them in a way that a machine can understand it. Then when you search it, and you can find them easily. So you don't need this weird categorization. Yeah.
It will also be useful for the license information. I recently built a tool which showed you images from Commons as part of what it did. And then I, of course, had to add attribution. And right now it's a nightmare. There is some kind of API to get all these fragments of license information which are buried in here somewhere in the wiki text, and if you're lucky you can find out that this is actually in the public domain, but if it's CC BY and then you have to get the author from there, it's all terrible. And if your tool isn't in English, it's probably even worse. So storing this kind of information in a structured way, who created this image, what is the license, which other images is it perhaps based on, is it actually pasted together from a lot of images and they all have their own licenses. Storing all that in a structured way is also going to make that much easier.
One good thing that it will have, it has some, there's like test system that you can go there and test it, and there has a, like a statement called depicts, and we say like what's going to actually show to you. So even if you want to look for a picture of Pluto, they just, you can search like what depicts Pluto, and then you get all of the images of that really easily. So.
Yeah. And that's, right now that's kind of done through categories. Like we have this category composites of Pluto by Lorry and Envig, which is probably a subcategory of photos of Pluto by New Horizon, which is a subcategory of Pluto. But then if we have a category for some person, we might already not know, is this a category of images by this person or depicting this person or otherwise related to this person. So that's all a bit messy right now.
Yeah, and one other thing, if you see this category in comments, this data is comes from Wikidata, just saying.
Okay, I think, what time do we have? Okay, we're halfway through. We might start talking about the query service now, I guess.
Sure.
Unless there are any questions about Wikidata in general? Okay, I don't see any questions. Shout if I miss you. So, the other thing we can talk about now is how you actually get information out of Wikidata. Instead of just looking at one item, let's go back to this item. You can, of course, download the information in this item in various formats if you want. But that's, if you want, for example, a list of all the, just all the Chaos Communication Congress events, that would already be difficult. You could download all of Wikidata and then search for any statements which say this is an instance of Chaos Communication Congress, but that's going to get pretty complicated. So it's much better to do this using the query service, where you can write queries against this entire data set. So it's a bit like SQL for SQL databases, but it's a different query language. Because the information is stored in a different format. So for that, you would go to query.wikidata.org. Okay, and now I hope it's readable for you. And we can start with this query helper, which if you open the page, it should be visible for you. I just usually have it closed. You're standing on it. Okay, so we can start by saying we are looking for Chaos Communication Congress events and run that query, and we get 7 results so far. So people created items for 23C3 and then 31, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 36C3, which is the one we just created. So that's how you can find them, and then we could add some more information if we want, such as the location, this one, and perhaps also the start time and the end time, why not? I need to talk on this end, sorry. So we add all this information if we have it, and then we see that 23C3 was still in Berlin, and we apparently don't know yet when it started and ended. At least we don't know it in Wikidata. And then these two events were in the Congress Center Hamburg and in 2016 and 15 respectively. And then, oh, this one also, because it's not sorted at the moment. And then it moved to the Leipzig Fairgrounds in 2017 and 2018. And for 36C3, we don't know yet. If we wanted, I mean, we could add the speculative information that it's going to stay in Leipzig, but perhaps let's not do that right now. So this is how you can add how you can generate lists of things on Wikidata fairly easily using this query helper to click together your query. And I think the next step would be to discuss the actual query language with it, which is on the right over here. So I've just...
Labels? labels of this, like,
okay, so
there is a label.
Yeah, so the actual result is, of course, a Wikidata item, which we see here, but the result also includes the label of this item, because that makes it just a lot easier to understand. And if we wanted, we could say we actually, perhaps we don't need the item for the location, so we can just remove that here, and we only want the location label, and now we don't have that extra column here. So on the right here, we have the actual query language, which you use to write these queries against Wikidata, which is called Sparkle, which stands for, what was it, structured something and RDF, no, Sparkle P and RDF query language. I don't know what the P is for. I don't remember. Anyways, it looks at first a bit similar to SQL with this select something where blah, blah, blah. And then down here you have a limit, and we could also add an order by if we wanted. Oops. Order by, I don't know, this label. And then this makes more sense. But actually, it's not that similar to SQL. And I myself didn't know much SQL before I started working with this Sparkle language. But I hear from other people that they had to basically forget anything they know about SQL in order to learn this language, because it's still fairly different. So I'm not sure how many people here are already familiar with SQL. But let's hope it still works.
If you want to talk about like how much it's different from SQL, so there's no concept of table, there's no concept of join or something related to that. This is like, at least one big thing about it. And there's like no fixed schema to say like I need these columns.
Yeah, so you don't really have a data layout like in SQL. I have these two tables, and to use them together, I need to join them on some condition. In Sparkle, you look at all the data you have as one long list of information bits, and then under the hood, I guess, there must be some tables and some joins again, but as a query author, you don't really have to think about that. So at least in my experience, it's even more declarative than in SQL, I guess.
At the back end. At the back end is a graph database. It's Blaze Graph, and basically it gets the RDF there, and you just put there inside the Blaze Graph.
Yeah, so we can just quickly look at what is actually stored. If we write describe, oops, I have to type with one hand, sorry, describe. And let's copy the ID of 36C3 and write that query. So that's what the query service actually knows. It's just a long list of these so-called triples, each with a subject, a predicate, and an object. And it says that this item, which we just looked at, for example, has a label of 36C3, and it has a description of the 36th Chaos Communication Congress, and then it has the same things in German as well. And here we see the statement it has. So P31 is the property ID of this instance of property, which we saw earlier. And that links to this item, which must be Chaos Communication Congress. And also this is, I guess this must be, it follows. Yes, so that this 36C3 follows the 35C3. And also we have from 35C3 the information that it is followed by. That must be, yeah, that's the followed by property. At 35C3 is followed by 36C3. So in a sense, it's all linked together in one huge graph. And in this case, we're looking at one subset of it. Can we show it as a graph? I think so. Okay, that's not especially useful. it's actually actively refusing to be useful, so let's just go away from that again. But yeah, basically you have all the information in Wikidata stored as these triples, which and it's just one long list, and then you describe which of these triples you actually want to look at. So if we write a simple query where we say we want to select anything where some unknown item is an instance of, which is P31. That's the instance of property, and it's an instance of this Chaos Communication Congress. And I can search with control space, by the way, if you want to try this on your laptop. And hopefully we can find, yeah, Chaos Communication Congress, there it is. And now we're going to find all the triples in the database where the second value is this P31, and the third value is this Q500,000 and something. And so because we saw earlier that this 3063 item has a triple like that, which is down here, and so that's one of the triples matching what we just wrote here, so it's going to be part of the result along with all the other Chaos Communication Congress events. So that's more or less the same as we clicked together earlier here on the left side, and you can see it here as well. So now we're looking for all the items with such a statement, but if we wanted, we could also reverse the situation and instead ask if 36C3. So now we've reversed the question. We're asking, what is this 36C3 an instance of? Now we get one result, which is this Chaos Communication Congress item. So we're still looking at the same triple in this case, we've selected it from a different end, so to speak. And you can then add more lines like this to further limit your results. For instance, let's go back to this, which is the list of all Chaos Communication Congress, but let's also require that the item has a location of Leipzig Fairgrounds. This. And so now we should only get two items, right? Yeah, 34C3 and 35C3. And because 36C3 doesn't have this information yet. And the question of how it actually finds this data, that's not important to us. It could, the query service could first look for all the triples matching this line, and then it knows what the item could be, and then it checks for each item, does this triple also exist? Or it could also go the other way around and first search for all the items with location Leipzig Fairgrounds, and then for each item check, is it actually an instance of Chaos Communication Congress or is it something else? And we can actually check how many results that would bring. I would guess it's not a lot. Yeah, there's just four events at Leipzig Fairgrounds according to Wikidata, or four that we know of. So that's the Leipzig Book Fair, Intec, and the other two are 34 and 35C3.
One other thing that is really useful, it's other types of showing the data, is you saw this item way, but you can look at the graph. So for example, if you check for Sons of Genghis Khan in the examples. No, Sons.
Sons?
Let me, Genghis. Wait, there's no children. Children of Genghis Khan? Yeah.
Oh, Sons, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking of the band, that's why I had songs in my head.
So, and then if you try to see it. Okay. Did you run it?
I didn't.
Okay. That's a little bit messy. But it actually is, you go down. Can you go up a little?
Let's go.
Yeah. And there's other types of showing this. Yeah. If you go probably this way. So yeah, you see it, like there's a Kangaskhan and there's like all of these children and the children of the children, and it is, you can go further down in this. And if this is really useful in case of historical figures, that they have lots of children, like kings, but yeah. And yeah.
I mean, we can go through some more of the examples perhaps, just to see what kinds of interesting things you can do. There's a map of hospitals, for example, everywhere in the world, or at least all the ones which we know in Wikidata and which also have coordinates, so we can show them on the map. And as you can see, that's not complete information. I'm sure there must be a few more hospitals somewhere in this area, for example. But we can still look at them here. Or what other examples can we look at?
Berlin Metro, you can check in Berlin Metro.
Oh yeah. So this, we have all the U1 subway stations in Berlin, and you can show them on the map, and then you see pretty clearly where the line actually runs. And in this case, I think for a lot of these stations, we OpenStreetMap should also have an item, and I think OpenStreetMap links to the Wikidata item, right? Yes. We don't link to OpenStreetMap because they say that their node IDs are not stable, they can change at any time, so we can't link to them, but they can link to us. And you can actually even query OpenStreetMap and Wikidata at once, but I don't have a lot of experience with that, but you can do some very cool things with that as well. What else do we have here? Groups of characters. Which one?
Something about timelines that you can say.
Yeah.
Not that harsh, but. Yeah, this is timeline of people who died in burning, I guess, because of burning.
Very popular around here this time, and then not so very popular more recently.
It's so-called Dark Ages.
Yeah. Awarded chemistry Nobel Prizes. Perhaps that's a bit more cheerful. Right, and for some reason the timeline doesn't quite work if my browser is zoomed in, so I have to zoom out, sorry. I'm not sure if this is still readable, but here we have all the chemistry Nobel Prizes. Oh, it's a bit much to show on the timeline, really, I guess. What other timelines do we have? Space probes. No, that's also a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Albums by Manu Chao and Manu Negra. I'm not sure why someone thought this was very important, but I guess it's important, so you can look at the timeline of those. What other results views do we have? You can also show the information as a kind of tree, like this is composers from Vienna with their compositions arranged by tonality. Apparently that's very important, and then you can try to guess what's the most common tonality by Schoenberg. Atonality, yeah. And then below here we should see a list of all these different compositions. And also, apparently, we don't have an image of... Oh, that's Josef Wagner, not the other Wagner. Okay. sorry. No, should we talk a bit more about Sparkle again?
What do you want to talk about? So, any ideas for queries? So far, we can maybe try to write them right now.
By Alexander or something? Like a list of battles by Alexander?
List of battles by who?
Alexander the Great. You know, like for a historic map or something?
We can try. The first step there would be to know how it's modeled in Wikidata that it's by a battle by Alexander the Great. Do you have an example item that we can
look at? Yeah, I have one. I searched it already. Wait a second. Okay, it's Q179670. That's the battle.
Okay, so we can try to find other items like that.
Yeah,
part of Wars of Alexander the Great. That sounds promising. Does it say that? No, okay. It doesn't directly say that Alexander the Great was a participant or anything, but we can search for items with this statement, part of Wars of Alexander the Great. Yeah, instance of battle perhaps as well. So, instance of battle first, and then also Wars of Alexander the Great should be a part of that. And that's 8 results so far. Yeah, let's try that. Coordinate location. Yeah, a few of them have coordinates. So let's show them on a map. Okay, there's one over here. And yeah, they're pretty distributed.
There's two.
Even down here. Mm. Yeah.
And there's some here.
And I mean, we can try to show them on a timeline as well by adding the point in time. I don't think they would have a start or an end date, so let's just try the point in time. Yes, a few of them have that, so we can add a timeline as well. And see that, yeah, it went from 334 BCE until 329 BCE, so is that a range of just 5 years? Oh, well, that's just... I'm not sure if Wars of Alexander the Great is... if that covers all the battles or if there would be other ones. Let's look at this item. It's a war, apparently. Oh, there it says that Alexander the Great was a participant. So we could also try to look for anything where he was a participant. So let's filter for Alexander the Great as the participant. The first one was participant off. That's the wrong direction. Okay. So, oh. Damn it, sorry, I keep touching this light. And then we could look for items. So this is, let's call it an event where Alexander the Great participated. And then we can look for any item that was part of such an event, and then we can perhaps find the same we find all these battles and sieges which we had earlier. That's 15. Did we have less earlier? So I guess now we're also getting some items which are linked not to this Wars of Alexander the Great, but no. Well, yeah. No. Maybe let's also select the event label to understand what's going on. No, it's all linked to Wars of Alexander the Great. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we can look so for battles with his father as well. So I'm trying to think of the best way to put this in a query so that it kind of makes sense. First of all, I guess I should quickly mention this thing. This is called the labeled service. That takes ensures that we get these label variables so that we can see not just the item itself with a queue ID, but that we can also understand what it's actually about. And basically, you can just put that at the end of the query and forget about it. And this is the important part. And we can, let's try to say it could be an event. So right now we're saying that the item is part of an event in which Alexander the Great was a participant, but also perhaps he was directly a participant in something. So we can first compress these two lines by removing this event variable and just replacing that with a slash. And that says, oops, my laptop is acting up. That says the item is part of something which had the participant Alexander the Great. And now we should get the same results, except that we don't have this anymore. 15 results. And now we can also say, actually, if the item isn't part of anything, but if it directly has this participant, that's also OK for us. So we can add a question mark here. And then that means the item can either be part of something which had the participant Alexander the Great, or it can directly have the participant Alexander the Great and skip this thing. I should also zoom in again, sorry. And then let's see if that gets us more results. Yes, we have now 17. OK, well, we have these two, which are the events we saw earlier. So I guess we didn't get any extra battles of that. And we should also add that the item is an instance of battle, right? Yes. And now we only get 8 results again, the 8 we had earlier. What other things did we get? Oh, a siege of Halicarnassus, which is not a battle, I guess. It's a siege. But both a battle and a siege are related, right? So let's see. A siege is a subclass of a blockade, which is a military operation. So let's say we're interested in any kind of military operation where he took place, whether it's a siege or a battle or something. So for that, we say, if we just say it's an instance of a military operation, then we will not get any results, I guess. Yeah, because no item is directly an instance of military operation. We have to say that we're interested in military operations or in subclasses of them, which was specified here earlier, this subclass of statement. We have to tell the query service that it's allowed to follow these statements. And we do that with another slash and then subclass of. And then we put a star after that, which means there's allowed to be any number of subclass links between the class itself and this class of military operations. So it could be directly an instance of military operation. It could be an instance of siege, which was a subclass of occupation, which was a subclass of military operation, or whatever. And now we should get 19 results. That's too many, I think. Yes, we get the Indian campaign twice, for example. Why? Because... No, that's the same item two times, the same item ID. We get it twice because it's a war and also a military campaign. And both of these are subclasses of military operations. So there's two ways to include these results. That's why we get it twice. Let's say we're not interested in that. We only want distinct results. That bit is like SQL again, I guess. And now we get 16 results, which is still more than we had earlier. Oh, this thing doesn't even have a label in English. This is Battle of Gabai, apparently. And if this, let me just see if Gabai has, is there a link of that? No, there's... I'll just guess that it's called the same in English and doesn't have a different name, so I will call this the Battle of Gabai, battle by... in the wars of Alexander the Great. And now if we run the query again, and we have to change it a little bit so we don't get a cached result, but now we should see, yeah, there's the new label. And apparently all the other labels are in uppercase. So yeah, so perhaps I should have made it in uppercase as well. But yeah, so updates in Wikidata are usually visible in the query service almost instantly. You just you have to make some minor edit to the query. It can just be some white space so you don't get the same result back again, because results are cached for, I think, 5 minutes. So if you just make any change to the query, then you get a new result. And you also wanted perhaps battles by his father, right? So let's... So we can do that by adding another element here and saying that participant could be Alexander the Great, or it could be his father. And we put a question mark behind that again to say that it can be his father, or it could be just Alexander the Great himself. No, wait. We need to go the other way around. Because in the end, at the end of the chain is Alexander the Great. So if the item in here in the position is his father, then the statement we're looking for is that the father has the child Alexander the Great. So this is at the end of the chain, I think. Now we get, instead of 16 results, we get 30. Wow, okay. So yeah, this one is definitely new. So, oh, actually the participant here is three dynasties, but it's part of these wars, and I guess these wars have participants, yeah. So one of these, I don't know enough, but one of these must be the father of Alexander the Great, I guess. This one? The one with a problem, apparently, because... Aha, Philip II of Macedon died in 336 BCE, and these wars started in 322 BCE, apparently. So something doesn't quite make sense here, but we'll have to check that later. But we didn't talk about these constraints yet anyways. I guess we should do that. So those are... limitations which are placed on some properties, and they don't stop you from making edits that don't make sense. So you're allowed to say even very silly stuff, like I could say that location of 36C3 is the concept of water, or that it's a person, and it doesn't make sense that the location of something is a person, but we will still let you add that information to Wikidata at first. And then you will see a warning like this, that the information perhaps doesn't make sense, and you might want to take a second look there and check that out. So that's what we are seeing here, and we also saw that a bit earlier. But it, you can still add this information for now.
One thing that's, for example, was useful is about like there are lots of vandalism that come, people change sex of people, like gender of people, from a male or to or female to like a cat or I don't know, something like that. And we have this 20 sort of acceptable value for sex and gender. And anything beside that, it just is not acceptable. Like, acceptable, these are acceptable values, like male, female, intersex, hermaphrodite, transgender, and so on. Anything beside those is a constraint violation.
Yeah, and that's, I assume there's probably a few items which currently have a different gender, and then perhaps that means that actually this constraint is not complete and should be updated again. But also perhaps it means that there was some kind of vandalism.
You can find vandalism. It's good that you can make the search queries in future soon, that you can make queries into the constraint in the query.wikidata.org and then get the results of things that are actually violating this constraint. So you can find vandalism really quickly.
Yeah. I mean, if there are no other questions, we could try that and query for all the sex or gender values and see if there's currently anything there that looks like vandalism. That's, oh, okay. I could also repeat the question, if the microphone doesn't work.
Test, hello? Okay. So is there a way to query metadata? Like, say for example, you want to find out which item was edited the most. Is there a way to find it out?
Not on the Wikidata query service. So I think I still have that tab open somewhere. In a second. So here we saw all the information which we have about this item. And there is, so this schema version is the revision ID for MediaWiki. And we have when this item was last edited, which is today. And that's all we have so far. We don't have a full edit history or anything like that in the Wikidata query service. However,
there is a, like, if you know about MediaWiki database layout and how it stores the MediaWiki, because Wikidata at the end is just a MediaWiki installation with some like fancy things added to it. So you can just go to the public service called quarry.wmflabs.org and log in with Wikimedia account, and then you basically can make any queries to the database of Wikipedia or any wiki that you want to. If the data is public, like you cannot actually query the user's password hashes, but you cannot actually query like how many times it has been edited. And if you don't know about the database layout, you just go to MediaWiki, search database layout.
Yeah, so like this information, which page has been edited the most? So at the level of MediaWiki, which doesn't know anything about items or properties, MediaWiki itself just knows this is a page. You could get that with a database query. I'm not sure if it would be very efficient to search for the most edited pages, but you could definitely do that here. It's just a different query service.
Group by page ID and then you get it. But yeah, it's...
I think that's not going to be efficient, so I don't want to do it on stage.
Nothing works on labs, but it's not the production level, so it's not. So, wanted to try the sex and gender?
Yeah.
So one funny query that you can do, it we are doing sort of it right now, is that you can group by value and see how many times this statements has been repeated with different values. And one thing that actually has been used a lot is like grouping people by type of the type of death that they had, like but which means they died. And if I can show you later, but this is like another one.
Okay, so this is all the different values for sex or gender, and there's actually 883 because there's a lot of unknown values there which we didn't mention before. But what's a good example for unknown value? I don't know.
This is a good example. You don't know gender.
Well, yeah, I want to show it on Wikidata.
I can get the item ID and just go there.
Yeah, okay, that's...
Filter is not very efficient.
Okay, so here, that's why the gender is unknown. This is a serial killer, which is unidentified. What a cheerful topic. So we know that they must be a human, but we don't know which gender they are. So that's also something you can store in Wikidata. In addition to storing a real value, you can store that we don't know the value, or that actually there is no value. For example, that what's a good example for no value? Right, the city of Bern in Switzerland officially doesn't have a mayor. So if we just open that.
Oh, United States doesn't have an official language.
Oh yeah, right, but so let's just go here. It's has a coordinate location, has lots of things. Head of government. No, wait, not Bern, Switzerland. That's the thing, that Bern is not the capital of Switzerland. Switzerland has a logo image, has life expectancies of its citizens. It's named after something. People in it are called something else. It has four official languages. It has an anthem, mottos. There. So officially, the capital is no value. There is no capital of Switzerland. De facto, there is Bern is the city where I think the parliament is located and some things. It's officially called the Bundesstadt, I think. So we still say, if you ask the average person on the street what's the capital of Switzerland, they will probably tell you it's Bern. So that's the value we saw here. But we also say that actually, officially, there's no value for this statement. So that's why it's very useful to be able to store that information as well. And the trick is that in the query service, unknown value, like here, looks like this absurd T something thing we saw earlier. All these things, that's all unknown values and they're all different. So we just have to filter those out. And okay, so we're, first of all, I'm doing this in a subquery. I'm first getting all the gender values, and then only after we've done that, checking if they're a so-called blank value or not, because otherwise, as you saw earlier, checking each value individually is very inefficient. So we first get these 800 different ones, and then this more efficient. And now we have 400 different gender values, and we also wanted to have the number, right?
Yeah.
So instead of, can you hold the mic? Instead of just selecting the different values, we actually want to group by the gender. So this part works just like in SQL again. And in addition to the gender, we want the count of lines we have as, let's call it count, and select it out here as well, and perhaps also order by that. And that's, yeah. Okay, there we go. So we have 3 million items. I'm pretty sure this is male, and this is hopefully female with 700,000. Yep. And then we have 5,000. I'm guessing this is male organism and 2,000 female organisms. I'm not sure why we actually have different items for male, female, human, and organism. And probably it's in fact not male human, but fictional characters which are more or less human, but perhaps they're not human. But from some science fiction thing, they're probably also male and not male organisms. It's complicated. But I'm sure that the community has its reasons for this distinction. And then down here we have other genders, including ones with only one value. That's a suspiciously low item ID. Q155 is Brazil. Someone has Brazil as their gender. Okay, so we found some vandalism. Let's find that. So this is the item. There's also a constraint violation. It should be one of the following, blah, blah, blah. It's incomplete list, it doesn't fit here. And was this edited recently? Let's check. It was edited. What did they do? use a relic keeper that looks like more or less they probably have lots of contributions, right? They've done some more or less big import. Great. Okay, so let's not so we can't revert that.
You can just undo it. I think it's a definitely a problem. But the thing is about this case is that there's lots of users who try to go through categories of Wikipedia and then try to import data from Wikipedia to Wikidata, which is a good thing at the end. But there are lots of edge cases that sometimes they forget, or they may be a problem in their queries or anything that they do. Sometimes these kind of things can happen. And the good thing about this is that it can find these problems so quickly.
I'm actually surprised to see this here, field of work poet. I think that's incorrect. A field of work would be poetry, right? So I'm surprised that there's no constraint violation here, but if there's no warning symbol, then I'm not going to touch that for now.
Any questions so far?
Yeah, right. Any questions between? This is not a very structured introduction to the query service, I'm sorry. We should definitely tell you where you can get help. That's very important. Up here, there's a general there's a portal for help, including some introductions to the query service and to Sparkle. And almost the most important bit is this page, Request a Query, where without knowing anything about Sparkle, you can just tell people, I would like to have this query, and then they will write it for you. So you don't actually need to learn Sparkle if you can just go on this page and get help there, which usually happens pretty quickly. What's the time, by the way? Oh, we have 1 minute left, apparently. You probably held up the cards and I just didn't notice them. I'm very sorry.
I noticed, but I couldn't say it
to you. Oh, okay. Yes, so we will be over there in the kitchen later if you have any other questions or if you want to try writing your own queries, and we can sit together and try to experiment with that. I think the slot officially starts in half an hour or something. Yeah, but we can just be there right away, I guess. Then, yes?
What if I want to use it from like Java or Python? Do you just use the web service thing, or are there like SDKs or?
Do you want to use Wikidata or the query service?
Either, both, maybe. I don't know.
So for Wikidata in general, there's for Java there's a library called the Wikidata Toolkit, I think. I'm not sure. Do we have a documentation page in general for libraries related to Wikidata? I'm not sure, but it would be. The Wikidata Toolkit is a Java library. For Python, there's PyWikibot, and there's a few other libraries as well, I think. Perhaps there's a category here for wiki-based libraries or something. And
can you go to the query? For the query service. Two examples, yeah. So if you want to see that, there's a, like, if you want to request a query in using other languages, programming languages, that you can just go there and write this query. We basically built this so we can just copy paste and build this data and get it from there. So this is sort of useful. But in another hand, also for querying Wikidata, if you especially want to do other things, MediaWiki itself has an API .php, action API. And you can just go there to wikidata.org and /w/api.php, and then it has Action API, and you can get all sorts of things that you want to. Even you can edit using that API. So,
but I'm sure we can discuss that in the kitchen in a second as well. I think we're done now. So thanks for your attention.
Thank you.